Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that emphasizes God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Wednesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm into my fifth week of teaching on the believer's authority, and this week is going to be the end of my teaching on the believer's authority. I really could just keep talking about this, but I am going to wind it down. There's a lot of other things I believe that the Lord wants me to minister here on our television program. But I have been teaching on this for 5 weeks. And I tell you, the teaching on the believer's authority is something that if you got hold of this truth and begin to implement it in your life, it will make a huge difference. It will separate you from religion. There's a lot of religious teaching about this, and especially this week, what I'm doing at the close of this, I'm making some of the applications that the way most Christians try and exercise their authority over their believer is through, their authority over the devil is through spiritual warfare and intercession and things like this. Now, there is a truth to spiritual warfare. There is a truth to making intercession. But the way it is religiously taught today is, I believe, one of the biggest areas of abuses in the body of Christ. So yesterday, I just dropped some bombs. I mean, absolute bombs that destroyed a lot of what the enemy has deceived believers over. And I challenged a lot of this kind of thinking. One of the scriptures I used yesterday was Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, where it says, "We fight against the wiles of the devil." And I began to start pointing out how that the spiritual warfare people have basically taken Old Testament models such as Daniel chapter 10, where there is this principality of Persia that withstood Daniel's prayer, and Michael the archangel had to come and help him. And I showed that in the New Testament, this doesn't even apply to us because God moved from heaven to the inside of us. We are now God-possessed. Jesus said He would never leave us nor forsake us. He sent the Holy Spirit. And so we don't have to get our prayers past the heavenlies. We don't have to get our prayers above our nose. God lives right here on the inside. And I was revealing all of those things yesterday. And that's exactly what Ephesians 6:11 says, that we stand against the wiles of the devil. The battle isn't out here in the heavenlies. The battle is between our minds, our ear. It's in our mind. And most Christians are missing this. You know, some of you, if you haven't been exposed to this weirdness of the spirit, and let me say it this way, the extreme spiritual warfare type of teaching. If you haven't been exposed to this, well then good on you. And I'm sorry for even bringing this up. But I need to expose these things in order to be able to counter it and put down the right foundation. And I've actually met people. Some of you will think this is a fabrication, it's a lie, but this has literally happened. That people take Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And believe it or not, in the name of the Lord, based on that scripture, people have rented planes and flown over cities because they had to get up into the heavenly places where these spiritual wickedness in high places are. People would go to the tallest building. They would go to hills, mountains overlooking towns so that they could get up high and do this spiritual warfare. That is not what this is talking about. And even if it was talking about spiritual wickedness in high places, I don't think your plane would go that high. I don't think the buildings are that tall. I don't believe that the mountain goes up there. And your prayers aren't limited. You don't have to physically be present. If that was the way we were supposed to pray, you wouldn't have to rent a plane. You wouldn't have to go into a tall building. They would also spend lots of money, and I mean hundreds. Like in one instance I can think of, there was 20,000 people that converged on Ephesus to do battle against Diana of the Ephesians and break that stronghold that they believe was controlling the Muslim world. This whole area that they often refer to as the 1040 window, where basically the Muslims lived. It's the least evangelized area in the world. And it's between the 10th and the 40th parallel. And so they call it the 1040 window. And there was tremendous prayer. And they would send people over there on tourist visas that would just walk around and pray. They even told you, don't witness, don't talk to anybody. Just walk and pray and break the demonic things. And there have been millions of dollars spent on that. This one conference where 20,000 people converged on Ephesus to do warfare. There is no precedent for that in Scripture. And it's a complete misunderstanding, again, taking Ephesians 6:12 out of context, missing the fact that it is the wiles, the deception, the lies, the deceits of the devil that is holding people in bondage. Here's another New Testament scripture on spiritual warfare, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. It says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Now, there's no doubt that this is a spiritual warfare scripture. It says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or just human or natural. So this is talking about doing war with the devil and with his powers. But notice what this warfare is. It says casting down imaginations, which is a thought, a product of the mind, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Again, talking about a function of the mind, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. It lists three areas that our spiritual authority and warfare operates in, and it's dealing with imaginations, high thoughts, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. It's all being done in the mind. And yet there's so many people in the body of Christ that are missing this, and they are making it all about we are dealing with these demonic powers. There are people who are teaching that the reason that certain places are given over to iniquity and immorality and things like this is because of demonic powers who rule over that area, such as in the United States, Las Vegas, San Francisco, big metropolitan areas where there's tremendous amount of crime and murder and all of these things. And they attribute all of these physical things that are taking place on the earth to the demonic powers who are ruling and controlling it. Now, I disagree with that. I'm going to explain this in a moment. And if you accept that, well, then the way that they teach to solve this is they send in intercessors. They get people to bind these demonic powers. And what they believe is if you can get rid of the demonic powers who are in the heavenly places over these cities, then the people would quit acting in the perversion. They would quit murdering and killing and being homosexuals and doing all of the things that they do. Again, this is exactly the logic that was behind this deal that in the late 1990s, I think it was in, it could have been in the early 2000s, but anyway, there was a whole group, 20,000 people, that converged on Ephesus, and they got over there, and the purpose of it was to bind Diana of the Ephesians. If you read in the Bible, when Paul went to Ephesus, there was the temple of the great goddess Diana, and she was deceiving people. And there was, there was a lot of terrible things associated with the worship of Diana. One of the things was there was 1,000 priestesses. And the way that they worshiped Diana was that they would go to the temple and actually have sex with these priestesses, and that was supposed to be worshiping God. So it really appealed to the base carnal elements of people, and there was a lot of people. Matter of fact, the Temple of Diana of the Ephesians was one of the wonders of the world at that time. And you remember, if you read in the book of Acts, that Demetrius the silversmith and others came against Paul because he had turned so many people away from the worship of Diana. They said that even our trade, where they made these shrines of Diana, these little idols that they sold, their trade and their manner of living was in danger of being, they were going broke, and the entire temple of Diana could have been abandoned. And so they brought Paul before the magistrates claiming that he was turning many people away from the worship of Diana of the Ephesians. And how did Paul do it? He didn't send any intercessors in. There is not one single example of him having the body of Christ to get together and pray and bind these demonic powers. The things that are being advocated by the spiritual warfare people today, there isn't any example of it happening. You know what Paul did? He went in and told them the truth. He preached the word. And here's my major difference. I do believe that there are demonic powers and authorities that rule over cities, such as Diana of the Ephesians. I have no doubt that there was many, 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 many demonic powers operating there, and that they were inspiring these people to operate in a profane worship of Diana of the Ephesians. I have no doubt that there were demonic powers. It's revealed in scriptures in the Old Testament. I believe that it still exists. But how do you deal with it? Is it the powers that's controlling the people? Or, here's what I believe, the people have been deceived by lies. They didn't know the truth. And as they yielded to the lies and the deception of the devil, it was the people who were empowering these demonic spirits that operated over Ephesus to control and to cause the mayhem that they did. So the way you deal with it isn't by binding the demonic power. No, it's going down and preaching the truth to the people. And as the people get free, then just like it says here in the scripture I use, 2 Corinthians 10:3-5, the warfare is in your mind. And as the people got set free and the truth came to them, these demonic powers in the heavenlies lost their control and influence because now the people were hearing the truth instead of hearing lies. You don't go and just bind the demonic powers and then the people get free. No, you know the truth, and the truth makes you free. And as you get free, these demonic powers lose their influence and control over people. So the answer to the situation isn't getting into your prayer closet and just praying. The answer is telling people the truth. There are people today that have been influenced by this wrong type of spiritual warfare who they call themselves intercessors. Did you know that the scripture mentions that we are supposed to make prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks for all men everywhere? All of us are supposed to pray and intercede. But there is no scriptural precedent for a person to be an intercessor completely. That is nobody's ministry. There isn't a single person called to the ministry of intercession. We are all supposed to intercede. And yet today there are people that will spend hours a day in their closet praying and interceding and binding this and rebuking that. But they wouldn't talk to their neighbor if their life depended on it. They wouldn't go to work and tell somebody the truth lest they be offended. And they criticize them and say, "You're a religious fanatic." There are a lot of people who quote unquote, are doing great spiritual warfare and all of this good, and yet they're doing no good whatsoever. They aren't preaching the truth. They think that by them just praying and interceding that everything is changing. That's not how it happens. That is not the way Jesus did it. It's not the way that Paul did it. It's not the way that Peter did it. There is no scriptural model for this. Instead, Jesus sent messengers who went out to preach the gospel and to do miracles and raise the dead and demonstrate the power of God. And they changed people's opinion. They dealt with their thoughts, the deception, the lies. In the 8th chapter of the book of Acts, you can see Philip going down to the city of Samaria, and he preached the gospel and he demonstrated the gospel with great miracles happening, and the entire city turned to the Lord. There isn't one single mention of him praying. There isn't one single mention of him striving with the principalities and powers that were over the city of Samaria. Instead, he went down and put all of his efforts into preaching the gospel and telling the people the truth. And when they do that, then these demonic powers cannot control you if they can't get your thoughts. If you quit believing their lies, if you go to believing the truth will set you free. Here's another example. You know, there are places in our nation, like, for instance, San Francisco is renowned for being a haven for homosexuality. And so, again, the spiritual warfare people will say that there's all of these homosexual spirits over San Francisco. And I don't doubt that they're there. I believe that there are demonic homosexual spirits that are over San Francisco. I'll agree with that. So what they do is believe that the spirits are causing all of this homosexuality. And what they want to do is go in and bind the homosexual spirits, and then you can break this practice of homosexuality among people. I don't believe that that's how it works at all. You know what I believe happened? I don't know the exact time frame, and this is, you know, I'm not an authority on this, but this is my opinion, that there was a person elected to government leadership in San Francisco who was very pro-homosexual. They began to start making laws that favored it and gave marital status to your mate. They started giving welfare things and just creating a climate that was conducive for homosexuals. And I don't doubt that that was inspired by some demon, but the person was the one who got these things done. The people in that area are the one that elected pro-homosexual people, and it was because they didn't know the truth. They were liberal, and they didn't understand these things. And so they created a climate that was conducive for people who like homosexuality. People from around the country, around the world, begin to hear of these things, and homosexuals move there because of these natural things that were making it more to their advantage in their lifestyle, and they brought the demonic powers with them. I don't believe that there was a concentration of homosexual spirits over San Francisco that made the people in San Francisco homosexuals. I believe there were natural things that happened, of course, under the influence of demonic spirits, that made it conducive for that. Homosexuals came and they brought these homosexual spirits with them. The deception that they were under, there is demonic activity attached to that. I know that's not politically correct. Somebody will probably get upset over this, but you know what? You're free to believe what you want to believe. I'm not mad at you. I'm not against homosexuals. I'm against homosexuality, but I'm not against homosexuals. And you're free to believe whatever you want to believe. I'm not mad at you, but I'm not going to agree with you, or we'd both be wrong. I'm telling you that this is the truth. It's not a godly way, and it's demonic inspired. And so when all the homosexuals moved to San Francisco, they brought this with them. So how do you deal with it? The spiritual warfare people want to get into their closets and just pray and pray and pray and bind these homosexual spirits. And listen, they have been doing this for decades, and it hasn't broken the back of it. You know why? Because the way that Paul went into Ephesus and dealt with Diana of the Ephesians was he preached the truth. He told people the truth. And as the people begin to hear the truth and hear that there's only one true God, and it wasn't Diana of the Ephesians, they turned away from her. And that temple was deserted, and the worship of Diana was deserted. And did you know that Diana of the Ephesians and the demonic powers that inspired and ruled over that have not been a factor for 2,000 years? Paul just basically broke the back of this demonic deception and this false worship, not by spiritual warfare, but by truth. Telling people the truth and preaching the truth, it completely destroyed that, and Diana of the Ephesians has not been a factor for 2,000 years until the spiritual warfare people of the 1990s resurrected her and imputed unto her the demonic power that this is what's causing the Muslims to rebel and all of this area in the 1040 window. They resurrected and they created this, and then they have started doing spiritual warfare to bind this. And it hasn't been a factor until the weirdness of the spiritual warfare people resurrected her. I know that many of you aren't going to like what I say, but I'm telling you the truth. I believe that demonic powers exist. Yes, I believe that there are principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places, Ephesians 6:12. I believe those things. But those demonic powers cannot force a person to do anything. Satan comes against you in your thoughts. The war is in your mind. The battle is between your ears. And if we tell people the truth and people begin to understand and believe the truth sets them free from this demonic power. There are people watching this program now all around the world who have accepted the lie that you are possessed by some lust, addiction to pornography, addiction to cigarettes, dope, alcohol, and you just can't break free of this and all of these things. I don't doubt that there are demonic spirits attached to those things. I don't doubt that there are demons who reinforce and make addictions harder than they would be otherwise. I don't doubt that those things exist, but the way to get free isn't to go in and just have somebody agree and start binding these things and rebuking the devil. You need to get hold of the truth and find out that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You need to begin to learn how to sit there and discipline yourself and take control of yourself and not indulge every lust that you've got. If you begin to fast and pray, did you know that you could break these addictions and things over you as you brought your body under control and begin to draw on the power and the authority that God's given you? But see, there's multitudes of Christians that have been told that, oh, I just can't get free. I remember a guy in Charlotte coming up to me one time and he says, I'm demon possessed. I need you to cast these demons out of me. And I said, hey, if you know that you're demon possessed, if you know that this isn't just natural and that it's demonic, and if you believe that Christians have the authority to cast out demons, then why don't you rebuke it? And he says, oh, they won't respond to me. And I said, well, see, that's the problem right there. You have believed a lie. If you understood, this guy claimed to be a Christian. I said, if you understood that you are born again, and like it says in Matthew chapter 11, if you are the least saint in the body of Christ, you are greater than John the Baptist, therefore greater than Moses, greater than Elijah, greater than David. I said, if you understood who you were, all you got to do is rebuke the devil, resist him, and he'll flee from you, James 4:7. And I ministered some of these scriptures, and he says, oh, I know all of that, but I can't do it. You've got to do it. And I said, no. I said, the problem is you've believed a lie. And as long as you believe a lie, you are the one that's empowering this demon. And this guy got so mad, he yelled at me, and he actually had a chew of tobacco in his mouth, and he spit just a big old wad of tobacco right in my face. And he got mad at me, and you've got to cast these demons out of me. And I believe in casting out of demons, but if you're going to believe a lie, you are the one that's empowering that demon, and I cannot override your own wrong thinking. There are some people who have given themselves over to the devil so far that they need help. But even the man in Mark chapter 5, who the Bible called Legion, because he had a legion of demons, a legion was 6,000 Roman soldiers. So we assume that when his name was Legion, there were 6,000 demons in this man. He wouldn't stay dressed. They bound him with chains and he would break the chains. He was demonized. He was the worst example in Scripture of demon possession. And yet this man who had 6,000 demons ran and fell at the feet of Jesus and worshiped him. Now, he may not have had enough control to be able to totally get free of all of the demons on his own, but I guarantee you no demon is ever going to inspire you to run and fall at the feet of Jesus and worship him. This demon-possessed man could resist the devil. He made a step. And there are some people today that say, I can't do anything. You just do it for me. Even Legion resisted the devil. You've got to start changing. You got to get free from these lies of the devil that it's just these powers that are overcoming you. Satan can't do anything to you without your consent and cooperation. The real battle is right between your ears. You know, I've got a lot more to share on this. I'm going to have to continue on our program tomorrow, so I encourage you to listen in then. And also, we're drawing to a close on my teaching about the believer's authority. So please listen as our announcer gives you information about how you can get this new book, workbook, all of the materials on the believer's authority.
The Believer's Authority is available for the very first time in book form and can be ordered through bookstores nationwide. Or you can receive a copy when you send a gift of any amount for the work of this ministry. Request book T327 when you write or call or when you go to our website. A Spanish version is also available. Request book T735. The Believer's Authority Companion Study Guide is available for a gift of $35 or more. Request study guide T427 when you contact the ministry. Andrew's complete teaching titled The Believer's Authority was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on DVD for a gift of any amount. Request DVD album T3205D when you contact us. You can also get Andrew's teaching as seen on TV. It's available on either CD or DVD when you send a gift of any amount. Request CD album T1045C or DVD album T1045D when you contact us. The sixth teaching in the audio CD album titled The War Is in Your Mind is also available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this sixth CD free of charge. Request teaching number TL23 when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you.
I know that there are many of you watching who recognize the value of what I'm saying and how powerful this could be, how this could help people. It's helped you, and yet there's so many people that need to hear this. And you know, we're reaching as far with the gospel as we can, but we need multiple programs on per day in one market. We need more than one station. And there's just a lot of expense. We need to increase a lot. And to do this, it takes money. I'd like to ask you that if you've been blessed by this program, to pray about becoming a partner with us on a regular basis and help us to reach out and take this gospel truth around the world. We have information right there on your screen. Please call or write today.
You can use your credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Or you can reach us through our website where you can order ministry materials online at awmi.net. If you prefer to write to us, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. We appreciate your generosity. We hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. He'll be in Amsterdam for the Eurospirit Conference May 21st through the 23rd, in Raleigh, North Carolina for a Gospel Truth Seminar June 11th through the 13th, and in Colorado Springs for the annual Summer Family Bible Conference June 29th through July 3rd. He'll also be in Durant, Oklahoma, July 30th and 31st, and in Boston, Massachusetts, for a Gospel Truth Seminar, August 6th through the 8th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
We're getting close to our Summer Family Bible Conference. It's going to be on June the 29th through July the 3rd, and it's going to be a great time for the whole family. We have children's ministry. We have it set up so that there are our CBC classes in the morning, but the afternoons are off, and then evening meetings. It's just a great time, and I believe that it could be a vacation for you and your whole family. The children will be blessed. So make plans to join me June the 29th through July the 3rd. For our Summer Family Bible Conference.
I really dislike religion. So much so that God has placed me in a country where it is so prevalent, it just chokes people. You know, it just chokes the breath out of them. And they're just lying there wondering if God loves them.